And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick. And tonight, well, we're going to open a French wine. We're going to change gears a little bit. We've opened a couple of Chiantis. We've opened some Malbecs. We've opened some different wines. It's been a little while since we've done a French wine. We're going to open one tonight. And I purchased it. This is one of those three wines that I told you about that I purchased when I went up to Raleigh to visit wine feed store. And I'm going to give you a little photographic tour, a short photographic tour of the wine feed store, as well as the beer garden I told you about in that same episode, the Raleigh Beer Garden, which is pretty cool, very amazing place, and is in the Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah, and I'll tell you all about that in just a few moments. Also, we're going to tell some dad jokes. We're going to do the national days. We've got some interesting national days this weekend to toast for today. So I hope you will hang around and toast them with me. Also, we've got, I want to show you something about pickled eggs. This is very interesting. Yeah, of course. And it's almost a dad joke in itself, isn't it? And, we're going to have some fun. This is an open chat. You know, I do have my show notes. They're right here. By the way, this is Drink with Rick. This is a stream of consciousness kind of show. Okay, if you're wondering, this is not a scripted show. I do have my show notes and they're right here, but I don't always follow them verbatim. Sometimes I don't follow them a lot at all. I go off on these other tangents wherever the show takes me, wherever the chat takes me, because the show is not about me. I do tell some stories and things like that, keep you entertained, but the show is not about me. The show is about the wine, somewhat. The wine's a catalyst to get us talking, drinking together, and just having a good time. But this show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, kicking back, relaxing with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks. No matter what it is, you don't have to drink wine. You don't have to like wine. You can drink beer. You can drink tequila. You can drink soda. You can drink water. Whatever it is you want to drink, you know, as long as it's legal to drink. And you're legal to drink it. Yeah, I'm fine. It's fine. Look, this show is about bringing people together. That's what it's about. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion on the show. We talk about things that bring people together because that's what wine does. It brings people together. And we talk about things that we can all find a common interest in and a common passion for. And that's what the show is about. Just getting together and having a good time and just having a good time together. Enjoying each other's company, making new friends, making old friends new again, making new friends old. And word did it. See where my stream of consciousness is going, and I haven't even opened the bottle yet. But that's what this show is about. So if you're joining me for the first time or the 160th time, because this is the 160th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, or any number of times in between, you can watch us live. You can chat with us live on any of these five venues. On YouTube, is Drink with Rick. You can go to the Facebook page. Our Facebook page is open to all, and it is Drink with Rick. Twitch is open, and it's open for all. You know, you don't necessarily have to be a member of Twitch to go in and watch. I think you might have to be a member to chat, but you don't have to go in and watch the show and enjoy it. And, you know, you can join in. You can give me a shout out. Twitch is twitch.tv/drinkwithrick1. Drink with Rick and the number one, all one word. And also on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, go visit me at Twitter at Drink with Rick. It's at Drink with Rick. And YouTube, I mentioned YouTube, but also we're on Odyssey. If you like Odyssey, Odyssee, we're live there with a chat going on. Once again, this is about bringing people together, no matter who you are, all walks of life, no matter what you are, you know, where you're from. This is about, and I'm trying to expand the show into as many other venues as possible just to do this, just to bring people together. That's what this is about, right? And just having a good time. Also, you can watch on the website. The website is drinkwithrick.com. Now, I don't have a live chat going there, but if you go to drinkwithrick.com and you click on the post that this live show is going on right now, you'll get a comment box. You can put in your comments in the comment box. I will respond in kind. It won't be right away because I don't see, unlike the chats, I don't see the comments right away, but I will see them and I will gather them together later and read them on the next episode of the show. And that's, you know, one of these days we'll get a chat going on there. But also, if you can't watch now or can't watch later, if you like to listen, the podcast. The podcast goes out at 10 p.m. Eastern time on Monday nights. Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern is the, like this episode, 160, will be going out then. And people ask me, why is it there's such a delay? Well, you know, it takes a little time to, you know, to prep all that up, to get everything over. It's not instantaneous, really. But the podcast version is up. You can listen anytime. And you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, podcastindex.org, and by email. Now, if you go to the website and you click on the subscribe page and you click on the little blue button that says by email, put your email address in the little box there and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick as soon as it drops and no salesman will call. Now, of course, you can unsubscribe from this or any of the venues. You know, you can subscribe on to me on YouTube and wherever you else you can subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitch. You can any of those venues. You can subscribe on any of those venues, and you can unsubscribe at any time if you want. But please don't. Please don't. You know, you'll miss the future episodes if you do, and you don't want to miss the future episodes, right? All the fun there, and also. You can buy me a coffee if you want. That's on the website here, drinkwithrick.com. Buy me a coffee or one or two or three or five or whatever. You don't have to. There's no obligation to do it. The buy me a coffee is just to pay for the prizes that we give away on the show. That's pretty much what they're for. When we do the contests and the giveaways and things like that, it's just for the giveaways. You know, that would be helpful, but you don't have to do that. And if you can't afford it, don't, because you need to eat more than I need to entertain you. Okay. But that's what that's all about. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here. Let's check the chats real quick and see what's going on. Facebook is a little bit quiet tonight. Interesting. Some people start to wander in. Since daylight savings time has started, people tend to wander in a little bit later. And to be honest, tonight I can't really go too late. Brew243 is in the chat on Twitch. And Brew243 says, evening, Rick, and evening right back at you, Brew. I'm glad you're here. What are you drinking tonight? What are you drinking tonight? It must be a brew. Doesn't have to be, but I'm just guessing. I'm glad you're here. It's been a little while, but please stick around because we're going to have some fun. I don't know if you caught the intro, but we're going to do some fun things tonight. I'm going to show you some fun things tonight. And Brew, if you like brews, as I'm sure you do, and if you like going to beer gardens, you'll love this because I'm going to give you a little bit of a tour of a beer garden that I went to, that I visited. Later on the show, I'm going to do this in Raleigh. And it's known for something pretty spectacular. And I'm going to tell you all about that in just a little bit. But I'm glad you're here. And everyone else is joining in. Those who are watching, we have people watching who are not in the chat, but that's okay. There's no pressure, no obligation to do that, none whatsoever. But please, if you can, drop in just to say hi. Because I want to hear from you. I want to know what you are up to and how your week went. I'll tell you how my week went. It was interesting. The weekend's good so far. Okay, let's get right down to the business here. The business of wine, huh? Because so we can get on to the fun stuff, right? Wine is fun, right? All right, enough of that. Okay, so this is the wine that we're going to open tonight. It's called Alluvions. Now, to fully entertain you, I took a year of French in high school, and I can read some French, but I cannot speak it worth a darn. And I'm going to really butcher this tonight, starting with the name, because I'm not really sure how that's pronounced. This is a Vin de Pays de Chavannes. I don't know. I know you're laughing already. Those of you who are still with me. It's okay. The face palms are okay. It's Joe. I guess it's, I want to call it Joe A, but it's Joe with an accent there. And I don't know how to pronounce this. If it's chandelier, chandelier. Chandelier, chandelier, I'm not sure because everywhere I looked, I could not find anything that helped me figure out how to pronounce it. There was nothing, not even pronouncenames.com or whatever that thing is, or pronouncewords.com or whatever that YouTube channel is, which half the time it's wrong anyway. But this is called Alluvions. It's a 2020 wine. I should have, when I purchased it, I should have really made a point to say, how is this pronounced? But I didn't. I'll ask him. Maybe I'll ask him next time I'm up there if I think about it. And this is a product of France. Now, here's the back of this wine. I'm going to read it as best I can. Well, that part's in English. Grown, handmade, and bottled by Joe. I'm going to say Chandelier. Chandelier. I don't know. Piedmont. Alluvions 2020. The appellation is Vin de Pays de Chavannes, I guess it's pronounced. Now, this is 60% Carignan. This is 40% Aramon. And it's imported by Piedmont Wine Imports in Durham, North Carolina. A native of the, is it Chavannes? I guess maybe it is. Chavannes ranges. Joe farms with a focus on biodiversity, organic practices, and working meticulously by hand. This is a red wine that's a product of France, and there is 12.5% alcohol by volume, ABV, in the 750-milliliter bottle of wine. Now, why did I pick up this wine? Because, as I understand it, this is an organically grown wine, and that interests me. 12.5% alcohol by volume, that's an indication that this is probably organically grown and organically organically fermented. So I'm looking forward to trying this wine. So let's check the chats one more time. And Brewtooth43 says, sitting on the porch enjoying a stout from a local brewery. That sounds great. What's the so this is a local brewery. This is a craft beer that you're drinking. I love stouts, by the way. I really do. And Dan's in the chat. Dan's in the chat on Facebook. Dan says, hi, Rick. Hope you had a great week. And likewise to you, Dan. And Amy is in the chat as well. Amy says, happy Saturday, Rick. And happy Saturday right back at you, Amy. How are you two lovebirds doing? How are y'all doing? How's married life? I hope you're doing well. I really do. I know you are. But I am glad you're both here, and I don't know if you missed the beginning when I talked about what the itinerary was for the night show, but we'll have some fun. And if you like beer, we're going to tour a brewery, virtually, sort of, in pictures. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. So let's see if I can get this foil open. It doesn't. You know why? It's sliding. It's sliding on here. So I'm going to do my little trick because I think it'll work tonight. See, that's my little trick. Yeah, I do that sometimes, just because I can. All right, let's get the mechanical corkscrew out. And let's mechanically remove the cork from the wine. That came out fairly easily. I'll remove the cork later. And to hold the, before I get to the holding part, let's pour, get to the pouring part. Let's put in the, I don't want to forget the aerator. And to hold the grape nectar, I have my trusty and wonderful Galway G genuine Irish crystal glass from Ireland, imported from Ireland, and given to me as a gift by my employers at buy2wareradios.com. And we're going to pour a little bit of this wine, give it a little bit of a swirl. Now, that's a very interesting, very light-bodied. You can't really tell from the studio lights, but it's a fairly light-bodied wine. I'm getting a few aromas here. Very cherry. All right, let's set that aside for a minute and let it have a chance to open up. And while it's opening up, let's learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, I checked around. I purchased this, as I said before, I purchased this at a place called The Wine Feed. This is in Raleigh. Now, they have two stores. They have a store in Raleigh, and they have a store in Durham, North Carolina. And we were up there for an event for my daughter a few weeks ago. We stayed for the weekend, and the hotel that my wife picked out just happened to be right next to the where all of the wine stores and the wineries, or not the wineries, but the it was in downtown Raleigh, and it was where all the pubs were. And wow, I could drink and not, and I didn't drive, but I looked out the window and of our room, and looking down, I saw all a string of these pubs down there, and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. And it was. So we went, did a little bit of hopping around down there during the couple of days that we were there, a couple of evenings. And it was enjoyable. And one of the places that we went to was this store called Wine Feed. And I'm going to show you some pictures of it in a few minutes. And the proprietor there, his name is Philip Zucchino, and the girl who helped me out there also, her name was Kara. She helped me pick out a few of these wines. This was one of the wines she picked out because I was kind of looking for one that was more organic. So that's what this is. Now, I checked around online, and it is available around online. And I went to the PiedmontWineImports.com website. And this Joe Chandelier, I don't know how to pronounce this name, okay? I really don't. It looks like chandelier, but with two L's instead of one. So I don't know if it's chandelier. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure about the Joe because there's an accent over the E. So I'm really terrible with my French. So I don't know. But there are some interesting things about him. He is Languedoc in France. This is where he is and where he grows his wine, his grapes. They're saying, it said the grapes, he grows Carignan, Aramon, Grenache, and Syrah, and these two have the Carignan and the Aramon grapes. And according to the website, I'm reading from the website here, it says, key fact, a young and passionate winemaker with 5.5 hectares in the Gard, farmed organically with the careful attention of a man with the purpose to produce natural wines of character that taste of their terroir. And this is, you can check it out, PiedmontWineImports.com/Joe-Shen. Actually, they spell it with one L here. So maybe it is Chandelier, Joe Chandelier. So I'm going to call him Joe Chandelier because that's, they are using one L in the URL. Seriously. All right, but that's the website. You can check it out. That's what I was reading that from. Now, I checked around online. Seller Tracker had it listed. They had one review and really didn't give much for tasting notes or anything else there. Not really rated much. I checked out also Vivino. Vivino gave it 3.9 stars out of 15 ratings. And the 2020 vintage is what I was looking at. And it says this vintage rates better than any other year for this wine. So that's hopeful. Although I was scrolling through the reviews and kind of mixed reviews. So maybe, maybe one of them was from a previous, no, it was from this year. Wow. Okay. So it's all right. I guess some people liked it and some people didn't. That's normal. We'll see if I like it. And on YFeed, now I'll tell you what I paid for. Now I lost the receipt. I missed the receipt itself, but when I went up to the YFeed website, it's the YFeed.com. You can go check it out. Nice website. They have it listed for $20, and that sounds about right. That's about what I paid for this, was $20. So let's see if it really is a $20 bottle of wine. Before I do that, though, I didn't want to show you Pulp Camera 3. This is what we're pairing it with tonight. My lovely wife, Chi, prepared this dish for me. We have some New York strip steak that she grilled outdoors tonight. It was a lovely evening tonight. And then we have some Cracker Barrel cheddar and some Trader Joe's double cream Gouda. I asked her to kind of keep it, and that's what she did, kind of keep it light tonight. I didn't want to go too much into the pairing. And we had a fairly large dinner tonight, so I didn't really want to overdo this, really. Let's go back to the chats one more time. And Amy says, cheers, Rick. We're doing great. Drinking a new IPA from New Belgium called 1985. Delicious. Wow. I did not know you like pale ales like that. That's very cool. IPAs are pretty good. They're a little on the hoppy side for me, but my boss, the owner of the company that I work for, he and his wife gave me these glasses. He loves IPAs. He is really big on IPAs. And Amy says, "Oh, that grape and strawberry is so sweet." And I think, yeah, I missed. You know, I didn't give that a true introduction. But yeah, my wife prepared this. My lovely wife, Chi, who is lovely, and she makes some lovely dishes. And she made this garnish with a strawberry and a grape in the middle. That's her own creation right there. And I think this mint. There's some mint here that came from her little windowsill garden. She grows some mint, so that's. Yeah, it's very nice. And she's amazing. She really is. Okay, so let's go ahead and give this wine a little bit of a taste. And let me check the chats everywhere else as well. I don't want to miss anybody here in the chats tonight. Quiet on YouTube. Oh, we got folks on YouTube watching. Okay, excellent. And where else do we have? Okay. And folks on Odyssey, I'm glad to see you here. Thanks for being here. And please jump in the chat and say hi. Please. And Brew on Twitch says, looks great. It does. And, you know, she does an amazing job with these dishes and the garnishes, all the giving it that proper look for on camera. She does a great job with that. Okay, so where was I? Oh, yes, we were about to taste this wine, weren't we? All right. It is kind of a light looking. It's fairly clear, so it looks good. And it smells of a lot of red fruit in here. Let's see. Wow. Almost a maraschino cherry taste to it. Interesting. Let's see what anybody else said about this. Oh, it's wow, that's the strongest part, but the cherries. There is a hint of plum in here, but I want to say it tasted a little bit like a cinnamon in here with the cherry. That was interesting. I was not expecting that. Give it another try. A little hint of cinnamon. Actually, it's wow! I'm surprised. And yeah, some cherry and cinnamon is what I'm getting mostly out of this. Wow, that's interesting. Wasn't expecting that. There's a little bit of tannin in the wine, but I'm really not getting a whole lot. It's kind of Once again, it's a fairly dry wine, which I like. It's not super dry, but it's fairly dry. It's not as dry as the Chianti's that we've been trying the last couple of weeks, but it's still pretty good. And it has a fairly light finish to it. Now, I wouldn't say this is a super smooth wine because, I mean, once again, there's some tannin in the wine, but it's not a lot, and it seems very light to me. Now, some people were saying that this wine might be a little bolder, and this is not a bold wine at all. I wouldn't say quite this, that this is quite medium body. This is fairly light, but this is so far a very easy wine to drink, and I love the cinnamon, the little bit of hint of cinnamon in there. I love cinnamon anyway, but this, yeah, I didn't know what to expect from this wine, but when Kara recommended it at the store, she kind of figured you probably like this wine, you know, that they like this wine. And I was looking at some of the reviews before and I was saying, I'm not sure I'm going to like this wine because they were really, really mixed. Some people didn't. I like it so far. Very smooth. It's not a real lingering finish. And I like a kind of a lingering finish, but I tell you what, this is an easy wine to drink. You know, I think even my wife Chi might like this wine, and she's not much for dry wines, but there's a hint of sweetness. There's a hint of sweetness towards the end. So she might like this. I would have to see if she might want to try a taste of it. She might. But the cherry, wow. The cherry is still, even though it's not a real long finish or a lingering finish, there's still some cherry in the mouth at the end. Oh, wow. That's interesting. Did not expect that at all. Well, that's good. Well, I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and pair it with some food. You know, I think this might go fairly well with that New York strip steak. We'll see. And let's get back to the chats for just a moment. Amy says San Diego is a paradise for craft beer and wineries. We love the variety. I have heard that. I've heard that there is a lot. There's a lot of craft beer. Now, I don't think I've ever been to San Diego. I've been to a number of places in California. I've been kind of up and down the West Coast, and I've been to another number of places. I've been to L.A. One of my sisters lives in near L.A. She lived in Pasadena for many, many years, and I've been up the coast, and I've been to San Francisco as well, and in those areas. So I'm not unfamiliar I'm not unfamiliar with California in general. There are some really nice areas, pretty areas. I kind of like some of the mountain areas there a little bit. What little time I've spent there, up in the mountains, but didn't go that high, the mountains. But I've been up the hills a little bit, and it's nice. Some areas are really nice up there. Okay, let's see what else we got here in the chat on Twitch, and. Okay, we're good. We're live everywhere. That's good. Let's go ahead and get to camera three, and let's go ahead and pair it with this New York strip steak, which is probably pretty cold right now. I'm sure. Good steak. This steak turned out really well done. Now, I was a little concerned that was going to be a bit too tough to eat, but it's not. Actually fairly tender. being well done. Mm. And there is a fair amount of flavor in this steak. Mm. Chewy, though. Mm. Let's try it with the wine. Okay, now, there's no smokiness, there's no earthiness. This is not an earthy wine. It is fairly light, so it doesn't really have a lot of impact on the steak. The steak being grilled outdoors, that steak, I think, goes better with a wine that has a lot of tannin in it, that's maybe smokier, that's maybe, maybe a little earthier. But it's not bad. I'd still have this wine with the steak. I don't know that I would really call it a steak wine, though, at least not with this steak. Now, my wife marinated it. She marinated it. Let me try another piece of this, just to be sure. I mean, it has some flavor, but doesn't really add any flavor to the steak as many earthy wines or many wines with more tannin in it would do. But it's not bad. Let me try it again. Yeah, it doesn't really enhance the steak any. It doesn't really take anything away from the steak too much, but it doesn't really enhance it. It doesn't. I don't think that this steak and this wine are the best pairing. This wine probably would do better with maybe richer French food. Maybe French foods that are rich. I think that this would probably be a better pairing with that sort of thing rather than, you know, just an outdoor grilled steak. Let's clear the palate a little bit. And let's go back to camera 3. Let's try it with the cheeses. Now, I'm guessing this is probably more of a cheese wine. So we're going to try it with, this is the Cracker Barrel sharp cheddar. I think this is a sharp cheddar cheese. So we're going to try it with that. And it's a good cheese. I need more wine in here. What the heck? Mm-hmm. A very easy drinking wine. Okay, now the cheese, it pairs pretty well with. I like it with the cheese. It's not really a perfect blend, but it's good. It's good with the cheese. I like it. Let me clear the palate one more time. Whoop! There goes my cat. Better not spill that. All right, clear the palate one more time. Let's go back to camera 3, and let's try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. One of these days, I gotta get myself a drum roll in here somewhere. I do. The Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Once again, we have a winner. It's creamy. It doesn't add to the creaminess as some other wines do, but it doesn't take anything away from it. I could see myself sitting around eating this cheese and drinking this wine. I think it's a pretty decent pairing, you know, the cheese and the wine. I really think this is more of a wine that you kind of drink on its own. I mean, French food, rich French food, you know, and with a lot of rich cheeses, maybe with a brie or something. It might go good with a brie. Might go better with a brie. But The cheese, it's okay. I could do wine and cheese with this wine and these cheeses. Sure. I don't have a problem with that. It's just I really think that this is one of those wines that you kind of drink when you're in a social setting with people and you're just sitting around drinking wine. I think that's really, really what this wine is meant for. But it's, I like the wine. I think it's a decent wine. $20? Yeah, I think it's a fair price. I think it's a fair price for this wine. Of course, I'd always like to pay less. Who wouldn't? But in this day and age, I don't think that's going to be an easy. That's going to be a tall order right there. But I think wine prices are going to go like everything else. I'm sure. But $20, yeah, I'd buy it again for $20. It's not a bad wine at all. I'll give my final review at the end of the show, of course. But for now, let's go have some fun. And as if this wasn't fun. This is fun. I'm eating and drinking and, you know, it's a good time. And having a good time with everybody here. And, Amy, San Diego is a paradise for craft beer and wineries. And, you know, we have a lot of that here in North Carolina. I was surprised because when I first moved to North Carolina, I didn't really think they had much of anything here. But it turns out that they have quite a few wineries here. And the craft beer industry has just pretty much exploded here, especially in recent years. In fact, in Rock Hill, where I work, they've opened up a number of craft breweries, and there's just a ton of them there. I've been to a couple. Most of the rest of them I haven't even been to yet, and I'm going to have to check them out at some point. And CM Cinder's in the chat, and CM Cinder, how you doing? And CM Cinder says, how's the wine? And I'm liking the wine so far. I'm liking the wine. But you know what, CM Cinder? I think this is a wine you might like. Do you like cinnamon? I think you do like cinnamon, don't you? It has a tinge of cinnamon to it. Just wait, I haven't gotten down the bottle yet. yet. Okay, let's go have some fun. All right, so what do we have first? National days. We've got some national days to toast, and boy, what toasting we will do on this. Did you know that May 14th, which is today, for another hour and 16 minutes, May 14th? Oh, you know what I forgot? Yes, I did. Thanks for reminding me, Rick. You're welcome, Rick. There we go. I have to have my national day thing. Courtesy of CM Cinder, by the way. CM Cinder, she animated that she created it and animated it. So if you need any animation and any graphics work or anything done, go check out CM Cinder at tiasavoya.com or tiasavoya.art, A-R-T, and you can commission her to do all of that for you. She does a fabulous job on all that art. Okay, so May 14th. Is National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. Do you like buttermilk biscuits? I'm okay. I'm not really a big biscuit person. I'm a big person, but not a big biscuit person. I didn't get big from the biscuits. I got big from the Cinnabons and stuff. But the biscuit, I do like a good biscuit with butter on it and some jelly and that sort of thing in the morning, but I'm not really super big on it. But buttermilk biscuits, depending on how they're made, buttermilk biscuits are okay. I'll drink to National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. Anyone else like buttermilk biscuits or anybody in particular don't like them? Some people don't like buttermilk biscuits too much. CM Center says, I'm doing okay. I like cinnamon, but I've never had it in wine. Well, you are in for a treat. You're going to have to check this out. You got to check this out if there's any wine left when I'm done. And Ed is in the chat. My good friend Ed. I didn't see him here in the chat. There he is. There you go. And Ed is in the chat. Great to see you, Ed, as always. Ed checking in. He says, Ed checking in, listening on my way home, going through Winter Park. Winter Park, a place that is near and dear to my heart, where I lived for many, many years. And, you know, it's home to the Winter Park Art Festival. And the Winter Park Art Festival, is that still going on now? I know with COVID and everything, they probably postponed it or canceled it for a couple of years. But I was telling Tia about it. You know, I was telling my whole family about it and the Winter Park Art Festival. And Tom Antio didn't remember because he was just little when we left. But I tell him how we used to walk around Winter Park, downtown Winter Park, and the train station, the Winter Park train station. When my kids were little, they used to love to go watch the trains down at the train station in Winter Park. Winter Park is just a beautiful little town. And, wow, I have so many good memories in of the Winter Park area, and especially the brick streets with the mansions and the tree-lined avenues there. They're just so beautiful. And Peacock Lane, I remember Peacock Lane. A lot of good memories there. They call it Peacock Lane because there were a whole bunch of peacocks there down in that area. Anyway, brings back wonderful memories. Where were we? Oh, yes, we were. Well, Ed, stay safe as well, and please stick around when you get home. Maybe we'll still be streaming here when you get home and join us there. Let's see. Okay, May 14th is also – you're not going to believe this. I don't have a graphic or an animation for this. Maybe CM Center can make one for me in the future next year. That would be a graphic to see. It's National Dance Like a Chicken Day. Yes, the chicken dance. Yeah, you know, dance like a chicken. It's National Dance Like a Chicken. I don't know how that came to be, but it's National Dance Like a Chicken Day. And my family tells me that I dance like a chicken when I'm not even trying to. That's how I dance, like a chicken. Anyway, here's to National Dance Like a Chicken Day. Us chickens do need to stick together. Nothing here but us chickens. It's also National Archery Day. Second Saturday in May is National Archery Day. I'll drink to that. I did a little archery when I was younger, a little bit. I can't say I was good at it, but a little bit. National Archery Day. It's also National Dog Moms Day. Now, my wife was a dog mom. When Cosmo, if you remember Cosmo, do I have a picture of Cosmo? I've got to have a picture of Cosmo somewhere. Let me pull up a picture of Cosmo. If you haven't seen Cosmo, he's not with us any longer. He passed away back in September, October. I don't know. It was some months ago. But let me see if I've got a picture of Cosmo. Oh, yes. I got all kinds of pictures of Cosmo. I did a whole tribute to Cosmo after he passed away here on the show. And let me see if I can pull that up for a minute. Okay, I've got a picture of Cosmo here. Cosmo with friends. Let me see if I can. Okay. There's Cosmo. There's Cosmo the dog. We were talking about him earlier today. And my wife was a true dog mom. I've got other pictures of her with Cosmo. I should have pulled those up. I wasn't really prepared for that in the show. But she took really good care of Cosmo. And you know what? Of all the people, of everyone in our household, now Cosmo hung out with Tommy and T and me mostly. But of everyone in this household, he was the one who showed her the utmost respect. When she called him, no matter what it was for, whether he was in trouble or not, he was there. He was right down the stairs and go, uh-oh, mom's calling me. I better find out what she wants. And he'd run right down the stairs and there he was. And he always listened to her. He always listened to her. That was Cosmo the dog. Here's to National Dog Moms Day, second Saturday in May, and my wife is a dog mom. It's National Dog Moms Day. It's also Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive Day. The second Saturday in May is Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive Day. And those areas where they're doing food drives, please, if you can, contribute. I'll be honest, I don't think that we're ever going to really completely stamp out hunger. It's always been with us. It's probably always going to be with us pretty much. But anything that we can do to mitigate this and to keep hunger, you know, at bay as much as possible, let's do that. I mean, it's just because there are always going to be people who are hungry is no excuse to say, well, why should I give, or why should I contribute? And that's not it at all. Give, contribute. Let's help solve the problem of hunger. National Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive Day. I'll drink to that. Now, I've got a couple. I skipped around a little bit because there are a couple that I want to cover here. Today is also Cornelia de Lange Syndrome Awareness Day. The second Saturday in May is also Cornelia de Lange Syndrome Awareness Day. Now, I've got to explain this one a little bit. If you're not familiar with it, you've never heard of it, a lot of people have never heard of this because it's not, I would say it's rare, super rare, but it's not something that many people have heard of or encountered so much. I'm going to read this. By the way, all these national days come from nationaldaycalendar.com. Marlo Anderson is the CEO of nationaldaycalendar.com. He was actually doing a live event this past week, as a matter of fact, that I sat in on. It was a lot of fun. This is his website, nationaldaycalendar.com. And I'm reading from his website now. Cornelia de Lange Syndrome Awareness Day, observed annually on the second Saturday in May, Cornelia de Lange Syndrome Awareness Day sheds light on this often misdiagnosed, little-known syndrome. Cornelia de Lange Syndrome, also known as CDLS, with a lowercase d, causes a range of physical, cognitive, and medical challenges. It is a genetic disorder that, even though present at birth, it is not always diagnosed at birth. Affecting the physical and intellectual development of a child, CDLS is often known as Bushy syndrome or Amsterdam dwarfism. CDLS can lead to severe developmental abnormalities affecting an estimated 1 in 10,000 to 30,000. Now, I have heard of Amsterdam dwarfism, but I never really heard of Cornelia de Lange syndrome per se, but I read through some of this. And once again, reading from nationaldaycalendar.com, a Dutch physician by the name of Dr. Cornelia de Lange first described two patients with similar characteristics and symptoms in 1933. She is credited as being one of the first physicians to document the medical condition, its features, and the associated symptoms. Many who have CDLS are unaware that they even have it. The day aims to support research and better forms of diagnosis. For more information regarding CDLS Day, visit the CDLS Awareness Day website. You can Google that up. So here's to the Cornelia de Lange Syndrome Awareness Day. Now, a couple of other days. So we have a couple other national days. Now, I wanted to leave some of these for last because there are a couple that I really want to cover. Today is also National Underground America Day. National Underground America Day. And I had to look that one up. I kind of had an idea what that was, but I kind of had to look that up a little bit more. National Underground Underground America Day, and I'm reading from nationaldaycalendar.com once again. On March 14th, National Underground America Day recognizes the approximately 6,000 people who live in some form of underground architecture across North America. The observance also celebrates the lifestyle, architecture, and benefits of underground living. Now, when we're talking about underground living, what are we talking about? Well, a number of things. Some people kind of like to do the hobbit type of, yeah, I don't know if you've seen some of those videos on YouTube where people build their own kind of hobbit houses and live in them. There are people that kind of do the underground thing for various reasons. One is because it turns out that having sort of an underground dwelling like that, actually, they're able to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And so it's really a more natural way to control, you know, keep climate control in their dwelling. And some people just like it. And some people like to burrow, I guess. I don't know. But some people, and I'm not disparaging anyone, okay? I mean, everybody, different strokes for different folks, okay? That's what I believe in. But some people do it because they're preppers and they, you know, they're looking, they're just waiting for the preparing for the, you know, end of the world or EOW scenario. And, they have their shelters underground. Some people do buy bunkers. That's kind of a thing, you know, where a lot of people built bunkers, but a lot of people buy some of the old missile silos that have been decommissioned, and that they'll buy them and turn them into underground living areas and underground houses. So that's basically kind of what this is talking about. And going back to nationaldaycalendar.com, I'm reading this again from nationaldaycalendar.com. Subterranean living boasts energy conservation as one of its top advantages. Okay, I didn't mention that. Completely covered homes or earth-sheltered homes are covered on all sides with soil, while earth-bermed homes leave one side exposed. Both allow for more stable temperatures within the home and less exposure to the elements, as I mentioned earlier. However, living in an underground home also poses some disadvantages. If you like lots of light and throwing open the windows on a summer day, which is what I like to do, this type of house might not be for you. While the underground lifestyle may not be for everyone, the observance encourages exploring earth homes to discover the options available. And I guess that's kind of what they also call them. They call them earth homes, I suppose. I don't know. Anyway, here's to National. I've thought about it. I thought it'd be kind of cool to do that, literally and figuratively. But I don't know. I can't see myself really living underground unless I had to. Anyway, here's to National Underground America Day. All right. Cosmo's still staring at me on the preview monitor. There we go. All right. Today is also for another hour and 1 minute. It's also National Miniature Golf Day. It's natural miniature golf. You like miniature golf? Who likes miniature golf? Dan, Amy, Brew, you like miniature golf? I know CM Cinder does. I know you like miniature golf. CM Cinder says don't drink at all then. She wants to try a little bit, so I'll try to save a little bit for you. Ed, you like miniature golf? So Ed says, I went to ATM after French rehearsals. Okay, so you're doing, that's right. It's almost time for Orlando French Festival. It's almost time for the French Festival this year, isn't it? French rehearsals. Ed does participate in the French Festival every year. Some pretty wild stuff there. I'm going to be down there briefly at the end of the month for PotFest. I don't think I'm going to be able to, I don't know, I'll see if I can meet up with you, Ed, at some point, but I'm not 100% sure. Our schedule's pretty packed, but I would like to meet up with sometime there. Let's see. And what was I going with this? Where was it going? CM Cinder says, I'm good at miniature golf. Yes, you are pretty good. CM Center says regular golf, not so much. Well, same year. But miniature golf is a lot of fun. I enjoy miniature golf. Thanks for putting me back on track there, CM Center. I appreciate it. Let's check the other chats. Okay, I'm trying to check five chats on five different There we go. So make sure I'm not missing anybody. All right, so here's Cindy. I love miniature golf. It's a lot of fun. We, the whole family, we go miniature golfing sometimes. And oh, wait a minute. Speaking of miniature golf, where is my miniature golf thing? Oh, yeah. The clip that I often play here. See this?
Oh, there you go. Oh, wow. That's a good one.
That was... she happened to record that when we were playing miniature golf. I got to play that again. That was a lot of fun. And I did make a hole-in-one, yes, on that one. Well, not really a hole-in-one, but I got it out of the rough.
And, oh, wow. And played, that's a good one.
Yeah, I have to give myself a hand for that one. I'm so vain. I think the show is about me. I got to be careful because I could get a copyright strike for saying stuff like that, couldn't I? I could. Hope not. I'm not singing it. I'm not singing the song. I don't think those bots care anymore. Okay, so anyway, yeah, I'm picking on the YouTube bots and the bots on Facebook and wherever they are. Okay, National Miniature Golf Day. Yeah, did we drink to that? Okay, now we can drink to that. Here's the National Miniature Golf Day. All right, there's one more here that I was saving for last. This is, and this is important. This is National Decency Day. Today is National Decency Day. I'm going to read from National Day Calendar one more time because, well, I have it in front of me. According to NationalDayCalendar.com, National Decency Day on May 14th celebrates the basic standard of civility that every American deserves. Decency. I'm putting the emphasis because it's in all caps. Decency is a nonpartisan grassroots movement launched to inspire decency in everyday life, in both conversations and actions. Oh, so it's an organization. Okay, I see. A movement. It's a movement. By raising awareness, the movement aims to encourage schools and local community groups to embrace decency and integrate it into both curriculum plans and service projects. Decency is all about... three things here. Decency is all about active listening, better understanding, and compassion. I'll drink to that. Decency offers an opportunity to be I'm reading this again. Decency offers an opportunity to be better role models for our children. If we can all be civil with one another, we are setting the right example. I'm telling you that right now, I'm all for this decency because... I think we have lost, at least in this country, and I'm not making a political statement, I'm just making an observation in general. I think we've lost our sense of decency towards each other. And that's one reason why I keep doing this show, because I want to bring people together. I see so much where it's just tearing people apart, and we've got all these things going on that nowadays that people are just figuratively... and sometimes literally at each other's throats. And it's just, it's super sad to see. It's really sad to see. I don't like to see that kind of discord and that kind of strife here. You know, we're supposed to be working together. We're supposed to be, unified, you know, in the sense that we come from different places. We come from different races. We come from different ideologies. We come from different ethnicities and different whatever. We come from all these different places, but yet we come together and we're all living in one place, in the same place. And what we should be able to do is get along, to just get along with each other and be civil to each other. Be decent to each other. And I think that this day, among all days, national days of the year that we are celebrating tonight, I think this one deserves a toast, and I'm going to toast it. Here's to National Decency Day. May we all be more decent to each other. I will drink to that. And I will drink to that again. National Decency Day. We can agree to disagree, but I think what we can agree on is to at least be agreeable to, you know, in how we treat each other. You know, let's treat each other with some decency. That's all, I think. And Grenadaz is in the chat. Grenadaz, good to see you here. It's great to see you here. He said, Grenadaz says, cheers, Rick. The world has gotten isolated when we live next door. Well, I'm glad to see you here. And tell me what you're drinking. If you're not drinking anything, it's okay, too. You don't have to. There's no prerequisite to drink, okay? You can snack if you want. You can just hang out. Just hang out with me. Having a great time. And Ed, I'm hoping you're having a safe trip back from the Fringe rehearsals. And let's see what else we have going on here in the chat. So let me check everywhere. You know, there are things I could say that I don't really want to. I don't want to get on a soapbox tonight. We got too many other fun things to do. With that, I think we'll close the national days. Let's close up the national days. I think we're all happy to hear that, right? This is what we're drinking, by the way. We're drinking the Alluvions. This is a Joe, and I guess it's Chandelier. Joe Chandelier Alluvions 2020. This is a nice, easy drinking wine. I'm liking it so far. I'm continuing to like it. Good stuff. I'll have a final review at the end of the show here in just a little bit. But on with the show. We have some other things here on the show. We've got the national days. I'm going to tell a few dad jokes here. Before I do, though, I promised that I was going to take you on a little tour, a wine and a beer tour in Raleigh. And this is in pictures. Now, I've been waiting to show you this. But I purchased this wine, as I said at the beginning of the show, from a place called The Wine Feed. And so when the CM Center went to this, she attended this show for game developers, East Coast Game Developers Conference is what it was called, in Raleigh a few weeks ago. And she and I accompanied, well, I haven't had enough of this. She and I accompanied her up there, escorted her up there, you know, with a friend of hers, and they met up with another friend, and they were attending the conference for a couple of days during the week. And while we were there, we were staying at a hotel in downtown Raleigh. This hotel happened to be right smack in the middle of Beer and Wine Row, I guess you could say. So many places to just so many places where they served wine, and a bunch of crafts. Well, not all of them are craft. There are a bunch of pubs there, a bunch of establishments there that serve beer and pubs, and they a lot of them serve craft beers. We were walking around. They were all within walking distance, so there was no driving involved. I did not drink and drive. Wrote Kill Bill. You'll get your turn later. We had a great time. A great time was had by all, especially me. Had a great time there. Toured around, and we went to a couple places. Now, I found this one wine store right there, just hardly a block away from our hotel. Called The Wine Feed, and the proprietor's name is Philip Zucchino, and Kara, who is one of the people who worked there, and she introduced me to this wine, the Alluvions, and a couple of other wines that I purchased and recommended them. So I tried them out, and they're pretty good recommendations so far. I think we've opened two of them. We have one waiting to open up down here at another time. And I want to show you, I want to give them a little bit of a shout out. But right here, this is the wine feed. This is the front of the store. They have actually two locations. They have a location in Raleigh. And their location in Raleigh is, Pine and Poplar. It's, that's their the Raleigh location. They have a Durham location on Roxborough Street, 307 South Roxborough Street. And it's not a real large place. It's rather quaint, but it's they have some hand-picked wines. I think they kind of have a club there. You can go check them out at thewinefeed.com, I think is the name of the website. I have the website up here. Yeah, it's thewinefeed.com is the website. Really nice people, and they know their wines. And I got a couple of pictures here. Let me pull them up here. What did I do with my pictures? Oh, here we are, photos. Okay, so this is the inside of the store. It's not a huge selection of wine. I mean, if you're used to going to someplace like Total Wine or Total Wino, as I affectionately call it, it's not that big. It reminds me more of Wine Store, the one I frequent in Blakeney. Although I think there's a little more room in this store than that one. And Wine Store, by the way, they're really good people too. But really nice, clean, well laid out store, and the proprietors are nice. This is another angle from inside of the store. And they know their wines. They're hand-picked. They hand-pick their wines to sell. And they go in and out of stock, I guess, because of the popularity. So that's the wine feed. And that's where we went. That's where I picked up this Alluvians wine. Nice place. Nice and clean place. Really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed talking to Kara and Philip. They're both really nice. And I think there was someone else there, too, who was doing performing some of the tastings there. Didn't really get a chance to formally meet her, but they all seem like really nice people and very knowledgeable about their wines. So I want to give them a shout-out. Here's to the Wine Feed, Philip, Kara, folks at Wine Feed. The Wine Feed. Winefeed.com. I'd go back and visit again. I recommend it. If you're up in the Raleigh-Durham area, check them out. Check them out. And no, this is not a paid endorsement, okay? They didn't pay me for this, okay? This is my review on them and then my review on the wine. I recommend them. It's just a personal review. Also, that wasn't the only thing we did. That was the only place we checked out. We checked out also the Raleigh Beer Garden. There's a place there called the Raleigh Beer Garden, and we decided to check it out. It was kind of cool that night, but I have some photos of the Raleigh Beer Garden, and this is really cool. And this is, I was going to tell you before, that there's a very, very interesting story about the Raleigh Beer Garden. Now, this is three stories here. And the third, we didn't go up to the third story. We were on the first two stories. The third story, I believe they had, it sounded like they had a live band, live performers up there. Didn't really go up there to find out it was live or recorded. But we didn't really need to because we spent most of our time, well, there's a lot going on the first two floors. Never really made it to the third floor. But this was in walking distance. It was like across the street from our hotel. And what was really cool about this place, here's another shot of it. This is outdoor. This is outside. A lot of it's outdoors, and then they have the building that's indoors, but they have a lot of outdoor area. You can see folks there enjoying beers. And now the night that we went was kind of cool, so they had the gas heaters going there, and they had a fire pit going. And but it was really nice, cozy. It's really pleasant atmosphere. And this is, I can show you that I really enjoyed it. I lost my place here. There we go. Yeah. All right. So this is why we checked it out, and this is what we were going there for. Not so much the ambience and the beer. I mean, the ambience, yeah, and the beer too. But there is another reason, and that is because this particular establishment, the Raleigh Beer Garden, made the Guinness Book of World Records in 2015 for having the most beer brands on draft tap. Yes, they had the most beer brands. And I think at the time that they won it, I think they had something like 300 and something taps, but they've added to it since then. I guess they want to maintain that world record. They want to keep their standing. They don't want to lose it to anybody else. So they've been adding to the taps. So if you look behind me, go back to this shot, you look behind me, you see all those beer taps? Those are all beer taps in the wall. I think at the time they had over 300 or 301 beer taps. And since they've expanded to over 400. Now, yeah, there doesn't look like there are 400 beer taps on this wall, but keep in mind that this is the first story. In the second story, they have another room just like this with more beer taps. So we're talking, yeah, over 400 beer taps, over 400 in this place. So that's what they were, and we were recommended. Someone, I think at our hotel, one of the managers there said, "Oh yeah, you got to check out the Raleigh Beer Garden because it's a local, it's a local attraction because of this Guinness Book of World Records." So we said, "Yeah, we have to try it," and we were not disappointed. What I had was, what did I have here? I had. Oh, what I was drinking there. Now, Chi and the girls there, they had margaritas. I had to try a craft brew. And what I had was an orange creamsicle beer. It was an orange creamsicle craft brew. And that was really interesting. I had to try it because it was just, they had a bunch of names there. They had like blueberry and they had all kinds of stuff. And I like blueberry, but I didn't try those. But I had to try the orange creamsicle. I said, "What does this taste like?" And the girl who served me said, "It tastes like an orange creamsicle." I said, "I will have to get one of those. Pour one for me." So I did, and it did. It tasted just like an orange creamsicle. And I was impressed. I did not have the time to go there and try all the beers. I would have loved to. I would have, if I'd had a few weeks, I think I probably would have been there every night tasting every one of the beers. But that was not the case, so I did not get to do that. But I do want to go back. I do want to go back there, and I do recommend it. It's called Raleigh Beer Garden. Amazing place. I think I will be back. And bring my friends. It was great. Great stuff. Wow. Raleigh Beer Garden. And great ambience, too. But if you do go there, I would recommend, yeah, staying at the hotel nearby, right around the corner, so you don't have to, you know, you can just have some beers and just walk back to your hotel and put on an old movie or something, and just go to sleep, kind of like what we did. But yeah, a good time was had by Rick. But that was the Raleigh Beer Garden. Anyway, we're getting to... Oh, yeah, there's one more thing I want to show you. Let's check the chats one more time before I do that. Let me go here and check the chat. It got quiet. Okay, Ed says, I am home safe to my driveway. All right, Ed, I'm glad you are. Glad to hear that. Ed says, I'm home safe to my driveway. Before the Fringe Festival starts, some artists opened their final run-through of their tech rehearsal time to an audience consisting of volunteers, staff, sponsors, artists, and people who billet the artists. I will probably see 30 shows that way. The Fringe Festival officially starts on Wednesday and goes through Memorial Day. So the next two Saturdays, I will not be drinking with Rick. No problem, Ed. I know. That's the Fringe Festival. Ed does the Fringe Festival every year, and it's a pretty big event. And I think it's grown over the years. I think the first time I never experienced anything with the Fringe Festival, Orlando Fringe, this held in Orlando every year. I think one of their main things was the parade. I think that was the big thing, the parade, and they had the. I think they had the Marching Freds, wasn't that it? I think it was the Marching Freds, something like that. And then everybody, all these guys in suits carrying briefcases, and they're all named Fred. I think that's what they were, the Marching Freds. Could have been the Marching Bobs. I don't know, but I think it was the Marching Freds, if I remember. I don't even know if they still do that. And I thought to me, that is so wacky. That sounds like a lot of fun. Weird but fun. And that's why it's called the Fringe Festival. It's on the fringe. That was my first exposure to the Fringe Festival. That was so long ago. That was before we left. That was like 20, 25 years ago? 20? Yeah, maybe 20 years ago? Something like that. I don't remember. Maybe longer ago than that. But it's grown since then. But I don't know. You're going to have a great time. Don't worry about it. No worries. I will drink in your honor. I'll be thinking about you, my friend, while you're at the Fringe Festival. It's good to go enjoy yourself. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know it's going to be fun. And if anybody has a chance, if you're around the Orlando area, around O-Town, as we call it, during that time, during the next week, all the way to Memorial Day, I want to check it out. I would like to go check out some of that. It's just that I'm going to be from the 25th through the 29th. We're going to be at PodFest because PodFest 2020 is going to be held in Orlando at that time, May 25th through the 29th. And Tommy and I will be at PodFest. I think I'm actually probably volunteering for a couple of things there at PodFest. But we're going to be there, and it's just nonstop everything going on. So we're going to be pretty busy there at that time. Then as soon as PodFest is over, because we have an 8.5-hour drive back to Charlotte, we're going to be back in the car and driving back up to Charlotte. So it's, you know, we kind of have to get here because we have to be here after Memorial Day because we have to go back to work. So, by the way, speaking of work, I want to give, you know, my son Tommy graduated from App State, and we did congratulate him last week. He graduated from Appalachian State University, but I wanted to give him another congratulations, a quick shout and congratulations, because he graduated and he had a job lined up right away, and he starts his new job this coming week. So I want to say, Tom Antio, congratulations on your new job, and may you be very successful. I know you'll be successful with it. I know you do very well. Congratulations, Tommy. I know it's something you're really going to enjoy doing, and it's right up your alley, and it's what you've been training and studying for many years. So that's great. It's great stuff. So Tom's got it right out of the gate. And you know what? The thing is, a lot of people can't. A lot of college graduates, they can't say that right off the bat. You know, sometimes they're out hunting, they're job hunting right away. Sometimes they get recruited while they're still in college, but other times they're in a situation where they graduated and they're out pounding the pavement, so to speak, and then they have to get a temporary job you know, doing something they don't necessarily like to do while they find what they trained for. Tommy was fortunate enough to get something right away that is in his line of study, that's in line with his career. So that's a good start. And so once again, congratulations, Tommy. And he's worked hard for it. He has worked very hard for all of that. So wish him great success in all of his future endeavors. And what else we have? Seam Center says just one more thing. Yeah, that's my Columbo, the Columbo thing. Just one more thing. I don't know if she is watching tonight. I think she had Columbo on earlier on TV and she was watching that. We love Columbo in our house. All right, let me check the chats everywhere else. Get one more check. Okay, good. We have folks watching. I'm glad you're here, by the way. But jump in and say hi if you can. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you're not drinking. Tell me what you'd like to see me drinking. And, well, if I can afford a bottle of it, maybe I can buy it and drink it too. By the way, for those who are watching that have, we had someone asking in the chat a couple of weeks ago, have you ever tried a Greek wine? And admittedly, I hadn't really spent a lot of time with Greek wines, and they said you should try Greek wine. So I said, I will make a point to search out and find a Greek wine. Well, I would love to say that I have a Greek wine that we can open up and try out. Unfortunately, I still don't. I'm still looking for one because apparently it seems to be a little bit harder to find a Greek wine in some of the local stores than it is to find a Pinotage. And I know how difficult it is to find a Pinotage because I don't find those every day. But I was at our local Harris Teeter. They didn't have any Greek wines. And I looked up Greek wines, and I think I looked up around Target and some other places, and some of the stores didn't have them. Well, it was Total Wine, I think, that I saw a couple listed on Total Wine's website. I have not had the opportunity to go down there to look for them. And just because they're on the website for Total Wine doesn't mean that our Total Wine, the one that I go to in Promenade, has it. Because that's often, as is often the case, I'll go look up a particular wine. And Ed, as a matter of fact, the 1001 Wines to Taste Before You Die, I've done that. I've looked for specific wines from that book that I look at. And I really appreciate that book, by the way. That's an excellent book. I have it right back here, and I referenced it quite a bit. But I will say, okay, I think I can find this wine here in Total Wine or whatever, and I'll see one online, and I'll say, okay, they've got it. Then I go down to the store, and it turns out they don't have it because it's on their website, but not all of the Total Wines, all the stores have them. And sometimes you kind of have to special order something. And even then, sometimes they can't get them at that store. Now, there's a reason for that, and it has to do with the way distribution works, at least here in North Carolina, because there's like certain distributors of wines that are only allowed to distribute in certain places. And, you know, there's very regulations and laws involved. And then the distributors choose what wines you're going to carry. And then some of these stores, they can only get the wines that their distributors give them to carry in the stores. The wine business is quite a business. It really is. And I think there's a lot of nonsense involved in the wine business, but that's just me. Okay. And I'm not going on a rant tonight. No rants tonight. Don't have time for that. It's about time to go anyway, I think. Pretty close to it. But I'll just say this. It's a little more difficult to find a wine that you're specifically looking for than you think sometimes. It really is. But I'm still on the hunt for a Greek wine. I really want to try one. So I've got a couple in mind, and I'm still looking for them. And when I find them, We're going to try one out as long as I can afford to buy it. Fortunately, most of the ones that I've seen listed online are pretty reasonably priced. You know, there's nothing outrageous like $40 or $50 a bottle or something, which is way out of my price range. But most of them seem pretty reasonable. The problem is just trying to find them. That's the problem. Dan says, yes to buttermilk biscuits. Mini golf in the beer garden looked awesome. Love the orange creamsicle beer. We have Mother Earth Brewery Cali Creamsicle, one of my faves. So Mother Earth Brewery Cali Creamsicle. I'd have to try one. That sounds like one that I'd like to try. Thanks, Dan, for that recommendation. I like creamsicle. I really do. And I like the actual creamsicles. Yes, I do. I do like those. I'm not supposed to be eating them, but I do like them. All right, so we're going to close. Oh, there was one more thing. Yeah, just one more thing, CM Cinder. I was going to show you one more thing here. Okay, so when we were picking up Tommy, well, actually, it was the time before that, I think, because Tommy was attending Appalachian State University, which is in Boone, North Carolina, which is up in the mountains, North Carolina mountains, up in the Blue Ridge area. And one of the things that we like to do whenever we go up to that area, to the Blowing Rock and Boone area, we like to visit the mountain stores. They have some of these old, you know, some of them are really old, dilapidated buildings and stuff, but they have these kind of mountain stores, these little shops where they sell boiled peanuts and all kinds of mountain kind of knickknacks. And there's some souvenir stuff too. It's, you know, kind of touristy trap stuff. But it's about as genuine as you're going to get to a mountain store up in that area. And one of the things they do is they sell a lot of homemade jams. I don't know if they're really made at somebody's home, but a lot of the, you know, the homemade local jams and the jellies and the things like that. And pickled this and pickled that. Well, I came across this where she loves to shop there. We all like to go there because sometimes we'll pick up things like beef jerky or pick up the jams and the jellies and the some of the fresh produce. They have some apples and other produce that are locally grown. It's almost like a farmer's market, pretty much. I guess, for lack of a better term, that pretty much describes it, sort of. But anyway, one of the things that one time we were there, the time before last, one of the things that caught my eye was some pickled items. And they had all kinds of pickled items because up in the hills, they do a lot of pickling. Have you ever saw the old episode of Andy Griffith with Aunt Bee's pickles? The ones that tasted like kerosene. Anyway, they do a lot of pickling up there. So this caught my eye, though. I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was cute. So we're up there, and I see these jars of pickled. So you've got, right in a row, you've got pickled beets. That's for real. These are all made by the Dutch Kettle, apparently. Homestyle pickled beets. And next to that, you have homestyle pickled eggs. Never tried a pickled egg, but, I'm not planning to anytime soon. Then next to that, you have homestyled pickled beet eggs. So you've got pickled beets, pickled eggs, and pickled beet eggs. Now, I don't... Pickled beets, I'm not a big fan of beets to begin with. Pickled beets, I don't think I'd try. Pickled eggs, I might try a piece of one to see what it tasted like. But a pickled beet egg? Anyway, I thought that was cute. But it's real. At the mountain store, at the real mountain store. I did. Well, there was one other thing we saw at the mountain store that I want to share with you. This thing, Smoky Mountain Toe Jam. Old fashioned toe jam. No, I don't think they're toes in it. I think that's just what they call it. Tangerine, orange peel. It's a jam. But I just thought that was cute too. It's called Smoky Mountain Toe Jam. All right, do we have time for a couple, real quick, do we have time for a couple of dad jokes? Okay, this comes from the Daily Dose of Dad Jokes, 365 Truly Terrible Wisecracks. Let's read these real quick. Let's read a couple for May. What's May? Today's May 14th for another 24 minutes. Okay, let's see. May 4th, I'll just read a couple of these. Maybe four. Okay, May 14th. All right, let's start with May 13th. Okay, there was a study that proved fast food chicken is only 50% chicken, which is not great if you want a chicken sandwich. But it is great if you're trying to quit chicken. Do I have a rim shot somewhere? There it is. May 14th, that's today. Why are there so many pizza places in Chicago? They're all trying to get a piece of the pie. May 15th, I once saw a man at the beach yelling, "Help, shark!" Which to me is so strange. Because if I needed help, a shark would be the last thing I'd call for. It would. All right, May 16th. A high-ranking officer approached a young soldier. The officer got right in the young soldier's face and said, "Soldier, I didn't see you at camouflage training this morning." The young soldier suppressed a smile and said, "Thank you, sir." All right, that deserves applause. I like that one. Okay, enough dad jokes. Maybe we'll give away a dad joke book next week. We'll see. I don't know. Okay, but I think it's pretty much time to close. I'm going to give you a final review of the wine. This is what we're drinking tonight. This is the Joe Chenin. I'm going to call him Chandelier. That's what it looks like. It's called the Louvians. This is a 2020 wine. This is 60% Carignan, 40% Aramon, is 12.5% alcohol by volume. I like this wine. It's pretty nice wine. It went really well with the cheeses, pretty much. I mean, it didn't really add anything to the cheeses, as I said before, but it didn't take anything away from them either. It's fine with the cheeses. The steak was okay. I mean, it didn't really do anything for the steak, but it didn't really detract anything from the steak either. It was okay. Now, the wine itself, I would recommend really drinking the wine. I'm pretty sure it would go pretty well with some really rich French food. I think this is the kind of wine that you would have with really rich French food. But I would think that it probably does better on its own. But I like the wine, and it has a lot of cherry in it. There's a lot of cherry on the nose, a lot of cherry, a little bit of red fruits. I don't know, maybe there's a little hint of raspberry in there, but it was mostly cherry. Hint of cinnamon. That's what surprised me. I was not expecting to taste anything like that, but there's some cinnamon in this wine, at least to me. Still there. And a hint of a couple of other spices as well that I can't really pick out too much because they're kind of faint. But the cinnamon is strong with this one, at least to me. And I like cinnamon. I love cinnamon. So it's an easy drinking wine, kind of medium tannin. And as it's opened up some more, it's still about the same. It is... it's a little bit acidic, not too much, a little bit, but it's okay. I like it. It's very good. This is not a heavy wine. This is not really bold at all. So if you don't like bold wines, I think you'll like this one. This is a very easy drinking wine, and I highly recommend it for $20, where I picked it up at the Wine Feed in Raleigh, North Carolina. I recommend this wine. It was recommended to me by Kara, I believe, and I think it was a good recommendation, Kara. So, Kara, here's to you. Thank you very much for this recommendation. It's a winner. Okay, so there is, that's pretty much, that's what we tried it with. I didn't bring that up, did I? Okay, so there's one more person I want to bring up tonight. Before we do that, let's check the chats one last time. And Dan likes creamsicles too, so he, a man after my own heart, he and I have shared taste in creamsicles. I like that. And Tom Antio's in the chat. Tom Antio says, hi, Dad. How's the wine? It is very good. I think I just gave a final review, but it's very good. I like the wine. I think you should try this wine a little bit, at least just a little bit. I think you would like it. It's actually pretty good. It's not too dry, a little hinge of sweetness, but this is a nice wine. You know what? If you like the wine that your mom drinks a lot, the Stella Rosa, it's not bubbly like Stella Rosa, but 12.5% alcohol by volume. It's got it's got a little bit more alcohol in it than Stella Rosa, not much. But it's easy to drink like the Stella Rosa. This is actually a pretty nice little wine. I think you'd like it. CM Cinder says toes. Oh yeah, the toe jam. The picture of the toe jam. Do I still have that up here? I don't think I have that up here anymore, do I? Yeah, I do. There it is. The toe jam with no toes in it. It's the toe jam. All right. So let me check the other chats. What do we have going on here? I have it quiet everywhere else. All right, good. I guess it's a good time to close up for now, right? But there is someone that I do need to bring out. I promised that I would, and I will. And this person is not really a person. He's Roadkill Bill. You there, Roadkill? Yeah, he's right there. Roadkill Bill. There he is. He's called Roadkill Bill because, well, he's Roadkill Bill. And Roadkill Bill, in his own inimitable way, has a message. I think you know what that message is. Roadkill Bill didn't choose to be Roadkill, but he is. One of these days, we'll have to tell the story of Roadkill Bill as soon as I can come up with a good one. In the meantime, Roadkill Bill, his message is, don't drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever it is. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend, or just stay put. That's the best thing to do is just stay put. Don't end up like Roadkill Bill. Think of others around you, your family, your friends. Don't let anyone else wind up like Roadkill Bill. Just stay safe. Use good judgment. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive either, because that's also pretty bad. And I have seen some crazy stuff on the road involving people that are distracted drivers. And you don't want that. You don't want to be anywhere near them. Trust me. And you don't want to be one of them. Please, so don't. Because I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can all join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together with Roadkill Bill and drink with Rick. Good night.